Welcome to The Lay Disciple. Tom Murray is taking us systematically through a study on the Messiah. We've been answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? The answer to that question is very important to you, so join us now as Tom continues in Isaiah 9.
Well, I want to welcome you back to our Lay Disciple Bible study, and what we are studying in this series is the Old Testament prophecies that gave us information about the Redeemer of Genesis 3:15 and the Messiah that was promised to the nation of Israel. And in our last broadcast, we were dealing with what Isaiah the prophet had to say in chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. And if you'll remember, in that particular time frame, the king of the south, or Jerusalem, was a king by the name of Ahaz, and he was under attack, or at least a threat of an attack, not only from the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, but also from the Syrians. And Ahaz was told by God through the prophet that he was not to be afraid about what was happening there. In fact, what God told him was not to be afraid, because he would not allow the king of the north and the king of Syria to ever prevail in victory over him. Now, the actual threat that this attempt by the two kings of the north to overthrow him and replace him with someone that was sympathetic to them was not really just a threat to Ahaz personally and to his house, but it was also a threat to the house of David, because from the house of David was where the Messiah was actually to come. So through his prophet, God tells Ahaz to be at peace and not to be afraid about this situation. And then God, through Isaiah, gives Ahaz two reasons why he shouldn't be afraid. And the two signs which he will be given are God's guarantee of his own security, but the security of the house of David until this Messiah is born. Now, the first sign we found in verse 13 and also in verse 14 is that no attempt to destroy the house of David will ever succeed until the birth of a virgin-born son. Now, the term virgin, we found, is required by both the Hebrew and vocabulary, that is, the Hebrew actual language, as well as the very context in which these two passages are found. Now, the second sign which God gave in verses 15 and 16 were given to Ahaz personally, and God promised that the attack upon him by the northern king of Israel and his armies and the king of Syria and his armies would never succeed. And he also went on to tell Ahaz that before Isaiah's son, who was with Isaiah when he found Ahaz, his son's name being Sheir Jazub, before Isaiah's son reached the age of moral maturity, that the two enemy kings would actually have ceased to exist. So what, in summary, can we learn from the Isaiah 7:14 passage that helps us in discovering what kind of Redeemer or Messiah does the Old Testament actually reveal? Well, first of all, Isaiah 7:14 teaches that the Messiah would be born of a girl who is still a virgin. And that is the fuller explanation of Genesis 3:15, where it said it would be the seed of the woman and was not reckoned after the seed of a man. Secondly, Isaiah 7:14 teaches that the Messiah will be both God and man. Both God and man, therefore the God-man. Thirdly, Isaiah 7:14 tells us that the Messiah will be a king. And fourthly, we learn from that passage, and we've explained that the Messiah must be born prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, because the house of David had to be reckoned until the time of the Messiah. And in 70 AD, all of the lineages were lost when the temple was destroyed. So if the house of David had to be preserved until the Messiah, and if those records were destroyed in 70 AD, then that proves that the Messiah had to come before 70 AD. Now that brings us to the next passage, again in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And this is the passage where God promises Emmanuel, our God, with us. Listen to these passages. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand. For God is with us. Now, verse 10 of that passage where it says, devise a plan, but it will be thwarted, state a proposal, but it will not stand, actually reads more literally, but it will not stand because of Emmanuel. Now, when we just looked at chapter 7 in Isaiah, when we saw King Ahaz under that threat of attack, but the threat that we're dealing with now is against Ahaz himself. But the threat is also against the very house of David. Because when God made his covenant with David, God promised David that he would have an eternal dynasty. Now we're going to explore that covenant that God made and that promise to David of an eternal dynasty when we get to that section of the Old Testament, which is called the Writings, and we'll do that later in this series. But the covenant assured that the house of David would have God's protection until the Messiah was born of a virgin. So God's response in Isaiah 7 was to offer a sign to King Ahaz, assuring him of his security, and he offered him another sign, that is, the sign that the preservation of the house of David was assured as well. Now, this meant that God was committed to preserving the line of David until, as chapter 7, verse 14 says, until the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. So clearly, until this birth took place, all conspiracies and all attempted uprisings against the house of David were doomed to failure by God. Now, it's at this point that we have this very point reaffirmed in our current passage in Isaiah 8, verses 9 and 10. Now, the real impact of these two verses is really lost in our modern English translations of this passage because of the failure to use the proper name Emmanuel. Because Emmanuel means God with us. But it is really wrong to translate it as such in verse 10. Therefore, that's why I reread verse 10 to you in the better translation. You see, it's the same word in verse 10 as we find in chapter 7, verse 14, and also in chapter 8, verse 8, where Emmanuel is actually mentioned. And it should be translated the same way in verse 10 as it is in 7:14 and 8:8. Which is Emmanuel. So what is actually being said in Isaiah 8, 9, and 10, and particularly in verse 10, is attack, if you want to, the house of David, or attack the dynasty of David, but you will be defeated, and you will be defeated because of Emmanuel. So until the virgin birth of Emmanuel, the Messiah, God promises to preserve and the security and the identity of the house of David until that virgin birth. So anyone who attempted to overthrow the throne of David, that line from David all the way to the birth of the Messiah, would be defeated, and history reveals that all attempts to overthrow the house of David were defeated until after Emmanuel was born. In 70 AD, as I've reminded you, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and along with the temple and its destruction were lost all of the genealogical records of Israel, the nation. Now, since 70 AD, it has not been possible to identify the descendants of David among Jews. So if the promise that is given to us in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10 is true, it is logical to conclude that Messiah must have been born before the year 70 AD. So what we can learn from Isaiah 8, 9, and 10, and more specifically from verse 10, is that Messiah must be born prior to the destruction of the temple, and that destruction did not occur until the year 70 AD. Now that moves us on to the next prophetic passage that tells us some details about what kind of Redeemer or Messiah the Old Testament was preparing mankind and Israel to be looking for. And the next clue comes out in the 9th chapter of Isaiah in verses 6 to 7. And this has to do with the fact that unto us a son is given. Now let me read this verse to you. For a child would be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Well, I see we're about out of time, so before I get into Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, I think we'll stop and just pick that up in our next broadcast. I hope you visit us on our website at www.milktomeat.org. Or that you'll call and let us know you enjoy the broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. Well, we trust that these programs are helping you on your road to spiritual maturity. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program, or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Or call toll-free 866-685-3385. I'd like to also encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org, where you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of the radio programs. And join us again next time right here for The Lay Disciple.